Well, we're going to, in a few minutes, get together and have some conversation and some prayer time. But I want to share some scripture with you first. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, we are grateful for what you're doing and how you orchestrate things in our lives. Lord, there are so many details that we can't even keep track of, Lord, but you are organizing these things and working them out for your plans and purposes, God. And even when we think things are going wrong, and even when there is real hardship and suffering, Lord, still in the end, you promise to work it all for good. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are overseeing those things and you are ultimately in control. Lord God, we come before you as a people who are hungry and thirsty for you, Lord. We need you in our lives. And God, we pray that as we gather this morning as your people to look at your word, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer, God, that you would show up among us, Lord, and that you would speak to us and through us that we might hear your voice. God, we pray for your word to go forth in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to briefly look at verses 11 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. As you know, we've been working through a series on the book of Acts, and we've been watching how God is saving all of humanity. He is seeking to save the lost. And how in the book of Acts, there's this expansion of God's kingdom, and there's this new understanding that God's kingdom is not just a kingdom for the Jewish people, as chosen people, but it's really a kingdom of all the peoples of the world, and that salvation through Christ is available for all people. And we've been watching how that kind of transition takes place and the struggles that are happening as the Jews figure out, wait a minute, God's saving everyone. How's this supposed to work out? So here in Ephesians chapter 2, we have Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking about some of the tensions that are at play and how God is working out the salvation of humanity, of all of humanity. And that's what we're going to read this morning, chapter 2, verses 11. It says this, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with his commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. He goes on a little later in chapter 3 to talk about the mystery that has been revealed in the gospel, that through Jesus, the Gentiles are also being saved. And here, I just want to highlight a few things. As he talks about, we have a couple of different groups of people who have very, very different backgrounds. We've got the Jews who have been seeking God in various ways over centuries. Sometimes they're pursuing him, sometimes they're not. They reject him at points and they go off into exile, and then God hears their cries for help and he brings them back to the land, and all kinds of different things that are happening. But these are the people who have the word of God, they have the law, they have the prophets, they've been called to live in this covenant relationship with God. And then on the other hand, you've got another group of people, the Gentiles, the rest of the world essentially, and they've basically been pursuing idols and worshiping false gods and all these types of things. And by the way, the Jews did so along the way as well. But in general, the Gentiles are not really seeking God. They're worshiping these false gods. And yet, God is looking at all of humanity that he's made, and he's seen the failures of the Jews, and he's seen the failures of the Gentiles, and how both groups are really kind of separate from him, and he's bringing them back to himself, and he sends Christ Jesus to rescue them, to reconcile humanity to himself, to bring us back into right relationship. And now he's saying here in verse 15 that he has a purpose, that he's going to create in himself one new humanity and making peace between the two, right? So we've got groups from very different backgrounds, and yet God is bringing them into one humanity, one people of God. And he's, through the cross, putting to death their hostility and reconciling them to himself. He preaches peace to those who are far away. That would be the Gentiles in this scenario. And those who were near, that was the Jews who were closer to God. But it says in verse 18 that through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And today is Father's Day, and we honor our fathers, and we're grateful for our fathers. Sometimes our fathers are imperfect. I know that I make plenty of mistakes as a father. Sometimes I'm like, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. You guys just figure it out yourselves. But, I'm not a perfect father, and I don't know what your father was like. Maybe you had an awesome father. Maybe you had an imperfect father. Maybe your father wasn't even around. But God himself is the Father of all. He tells us to come to him and cry out to him as Father. He is the creator of all, and we all have our life because of him. And he wants us to relate to him as Father, and it's through Jesus that we have access to God, the perfect Father, the loving Father, the Father of all comfort, and we have access through his Spirit, or by his Spirit. And so here it says in verse 19 then, and again, the context is Paul's talking to the Gentiles in contrast to the Jews. He says, you guys who were outsiders, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but you were being brought in to this people of God. You are now fellow citizens with the saints. That word, God's people, there in 19 is the saints. You are part of God's people. You are partaking in the covenant promises. And it says you are also members of his household. And that's the word I want to key in on today, is this idea of a household. We are members of God's household. And again, the background here is Jewish background, Gentile background. But whatever background you have, whatever your father was like, whatever your family was like, the good, the bad, everything in between, you are now being brought in through faith in Christ to be part of God's household. And, you know, I've been thinking lately, especially because I got to go away for, you know, a week and a half or so with just my kids and my wife, and how do I really want my house to function? Because I know, it's fun to go away, and you come back, and it's all the mess you got to clean up and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, how do we, just want to evaluate? How is my house functioning? Is this the way that I want my household to be? And many of you know this, but one of the ways that you have to function, if you want to be united as a household, is that you have to spend time together. We got five little ones running around the house. It's chaotic sometimes. sometimes the older ones are coming up to me like, hey, Dad, I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm changing a diaper here. This one needs food. And it gets wild. And it's like, how am I making sure that I'm having real, genuine connection with the people of my household? What does it mean to really, like, function together as a household? Because we've had times in life where things are busy, and Hannah and I talk a lot, but sometimes we joke, like, it's tax season, she's been working late, and then I work late sometimes, and whatever, and I show up, we're at home, and like, hey, do you live here? And she's like, yeah, I live here. You know, like, we just laugh, but sometimes life gets busy, and you're not spending the kind of time that you need to spend in order to, like, really be unified, if that makes sense. And the same can be true of God's household as well. Sometimes we get busy doing things, and very good things, even as a church, but are we really connecting in such a way that we really feel like brothers and sisters in Christ instead of strangers and like foreigners? I look across the church and I'm like, who's that guy? I don't know. Or maybe I used to be really close to that person. I haven't talked to them in a while. And it's really important, just like with our natural family, if we want that to function well, that we spend time together talking and listening and loving on each other, it's important that we do that as God's household as well. It says here in verse 21 that in him the whole building is joined together. In other words, he's the one that binds us together. And it's rising to become a holy temple in the Lord. And what that means is the people of God together are God's temple. Yes, as individuals, there's scripture that says our bodies are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But also corporately together, we are the temple of the Lord. And it says, you are being built together, in verse 22, to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. In other words, we are being connected in such a way that God is showing up in our interactions. When we spend time together, when we talk, when we listen, when we serve, when we love, we are being connected in such a way that God is able to show up in our midst and work. But that can really only happen if we are intentional about taking time together. Because just like a family who has crazy schedules and they never see each other and maybe they're not eating dinner together or they're just running here and there and that kind of just drifts apart and there's not a lot of love and service and care that can go on unless they're intentional about being together and spending time together. And so as a family of God, as members of God's household, for the rest of this morning, we're going to take some time and be together. What I want you to do is to gather in groups of four or five, maybe six, and I want you to spend some time talking about what's happening in life. I'm going to give you a couple options to talk about if you've got nothing else to talk about, but I want you to gear your conversations toward like what God is doing and what are the important things in life. Let's not talk about ball games and weather. And those things are fun. We need to talk about those things. I'm not saying those are bad things, but they don't bring the real true connection that I think God wants from his people. And then as we talk, then we can shift into praying for one another about what God is doing in our lives. So if you're visiting, I know I got family visiting this morning. You look at these people and you know some of them and you don't. Don't feel pressured to talk. If you go here, if you attend here, you better talk, all right? If you're visiting, just join a group and listen, and if you want to participate, by all means, participate. But if you're one of our family members and you're connected here, I want you to open up a little bit so that we can serve and love one another well and be members of God's household. All right, so break up into groups. The discussion questions are along these lines. You have to do it exactly this way, but this would give you some idea. How is God coming to me lately? What is it that God's been doing in my life? Is there something I'm reading? Is there something I'm listening to? Is there something I'm learning that God is revealing himself to me? How is God revealing himself to me lately? Or, because you're not going to have time to talk about all of this with your whole group, but what is the biggest thing impacting me right now? All right, so those would be available for discussion or something related to those things. All right, find some partners.